Thank you, Josh and Dave, for the impact you've had on our kids. Well, Ashley and Hannah, I have a special place in my heart for this phase in life that you're both at right now. You're now young adults. You're starting a whole new phase in your lives, and I look back with such great memories of when I was a young adult in my college years. I trusted Christ as my personal Savior during the middle of my senior year in high school. Wendy says it was the talk of the school that Brian Miller is now this religious, born-again Christian. And after I graduated from high school, I went on to college, and I got involved in just a wonderful campus ministry called the Navigators. And during those college years, God used two older men particularly to disciple me and help me to grow in my faith in Christ, and it was just a great time of growth in my life. And I think those years, right after high school, age 18 to 22, 23, those are such pivotal years to grow and mature as a person, as a Christian. And I think you're gonna love these next 4 or 5 years in your life. And I still think about and I still remind myself of the things that I learned as a young Christian in college. So that's what I want to share with you this morning, just some things that I learned while I was about your age that have stayed with me ever since. And my first bit of advice, if it's working, maybe it's not. Yeah, I did. Oh, no. Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Here's my first bit of advice. And Hannah and Ashley, I want you to think of your lives in terms of spiritual generations. God's used people in your lives to help you grow closer to Him. Besides your physical parents, God has used also other people here at Dunning Park, Sunday school teachers, youth group workers, people at Bear Lake Bible Camp, people at UP Bible Camp, perhaps people at school. Lots of people have invested in your lives. And they've mentored you and discipled you, and they've had a godly influence on you. And I'm sure the Lord's going to continue to give you people that are going to invest in your lives in the future. Don't just wait for that to happen, though. Keep seeking out godly people that you can learn from. But think of your lives as living in between spiritual generations. Keep seeking out godly Christians who are farther along in their spiritual journey than you are, people who can disciple you. But also think about other people who are not as far along in their spiritual journey as you are. And think about people who aren't even on a spiritual journey yet, people who are not yet Christians. Ask God to give you a few people that you can be a spiritual mentor to, and people you can disciple, people that you can help bring closer to the Lord. A great man by the name of Wayne Woodrow Hayes, otherwise known as Woody. Woody used to say, you can never pay back. You should always try to pay forward. He always used to tell people to pay it forward. And I think that really applies to this concept of living in between spiritual generations. People have invested in you. People have invested in me. And we can't pay them back. So ask God to give you one or two other people that you can pay it forward, a next spiritual generation of people. Ask Him to give you one or two other people that you can invest in. Ask God to build a new spiritual generation from your life. And really, for the rest of your lives, I would encourage you to think that way and live that way, living in between spiritual generations. For the rest of your lives, seek to have a relationship with someone who can disciple you. And also seek to have a relationship with someone that you can be a mentor to and you can disciple. That was how the Apostle Paul thought, and that's what he told his disciple Timothy to do. 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul tells Timothy, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. And really, Paul wasn't just thinking about the next spiritual generation, Timothy, was he? Paul was really thinking about the next two spiritual generations after Timothy. He was thinking about the faithful or the reliable, faithful men that Timothy would disciple. And then he was thinking about the others that those reliable men would teach and disciple. So live like that. Live in between spiritual generations. My second piece of advice to you is this. Realize that God created you for just this time in history. Ashley remembers this because she did her Wax Museum speech on Esther. Think like Esther. For such a time as this, God has put you here in this world at this time in history, and he's got a purpose for you. He's got a plan for your lives. He's called you into his family. He's saved you from your sins. And he has a plan for your life in this world. And that plan is to know him and get to know him and continue to get to know him better and to make him known to others. And God's called you into the ministry. There are people that God has specifically designed you to impact. He's called you to serve him in the ministry. We're all called to be in the ministry. Did you know that? If you're a Christian, if you've put your faith in Christ to rescue you from your sins, then you're part of God's family. You're part of the body of Christ. You're part of his church. And each one of us is called to be in the ministry. Ephesians chapter 4 says that Christ gave his church apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why? To equip God's people for the ministry. In my Bible, the old New International Version, it says in Ephesians 4:12, to prepare God's people for works of service. The version Ashley likes to use, it says this, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church. So it's not just those people who are in full-time ministry like pastors and missionaries who are called to be in the ministry. Regular people like you and me are called to serve the Lord and to do his work in this world. And in fact, it's the job of pastors and teachers to equip and prepare regular people like us to minister. So Ashley and Hannah, God has called you to be involved in his ministry, and the rest of us also. We're called to be in the ministry. If you take a look at 2 Corinthians 5, and starting in verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Apostle Paul writes this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So what's our ministry? It's right there in verse 18. God reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He's committed to us the message of reconciliation. So if you're a Christian, you've been reconciled to God, and he's given you the ministry of reconciliation. So to Ashley and Hannah and to everyone in this room, God wants to use you to help other people to be reconciled to God. He is going to put people in our lives that he wants us to help them to be reconciled to him. And that's why, like the simple mission statement of the Navigator's ministry, to know Christ and to make him known. If you're a Christian and you're not currently involved in some way in sharing the message of reconciliation with others, whether it be to kids or adults, either in church or outside of church, if you're not currently involved in some way in trying to help people know Christ better and to help people be reconciled to God, then quite frankly, you're out of God's will for your life. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's committed to us the message of reconciliation. And you might be thinking, well, how do I do this? How can I serve God in the ministry of reconciliation? For some of us, it might be helping with one of our Sunday school classes, or helping with Sunburst or Stockade, our girls and boys groups, or maybe helping with our youth group, Maybe God would have you join MOPS with the purpose of helping a young mother know Christ better, or maybe helping her little kids learn about Jesus. Maybe God would have you use your musical and singing gifts to sing with Jubals. Or maybe it's as simple as becoming friends with a coworker or a neighbor just with the purpose of helping them to know Christ better than they currently do. And I think if you think of your lives as living in between spiritual generations, that will help you to look for opportunities to help people be reconciled to God. Live with that sense of purpose, that sense of God's calling on your life. He's reconciled you to himself, and he's given you the ministry of reconciliation in this world. Third, remember that God saved you so that you could bear fruit for him. He wants you to be fruitful. And this might be the most important bit of advice. The only way that you can be fruitful is by staying connected to Jesus. Jesus saved you so that you could have a close, ongoing relationship with him. In John chapter 15, Jesus says this, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And think about an apple tree or any other fruit tree. The branches don't have to try hard to produce fruit, right? They naturally produce fruit because they're connected to the tree. And so if you're going to find as you walk with the Lord, as you continue on, you're going to find that a fruitful life, a fruitful ministry is really going to be a byproduct of staying connected to Christ and walking with him every day. And if you walk closely with Christ, you won't have to try hard to produce fruit in your life. If you're connected to Christ, he's going to make you fruitful. He's going to produce fruit in your life because you're connected to him. My fourth bit of advice is this. Don't have Christ be apart from your life, and don't have Christ be a part of your life. What do I mean by this play on words? What I mean is this. Don't live your life like the man who discipled me called being a practicing atheist, living your life as if God wasn't even there. Don't live your life apart from Christ. And also, don't just make Christ a part of your life like a lot of us do. Don't live your life like this where Christ is just one part of your life and church is just one part of your life. Don't live like that. Instead, what God wants you to do, what God is calling us to do, is make Christ the center of our life. Make Christ the center of your life. Make him Lord over every area of your life. This wheel illustration is something I learned from the Navigators while I was in college, and I've loved this illustration ever since. Make Christ the center of your life. He's the central hub. A wheel gets its driving force and its power from the hub. Christ is the center hub of your life. Galatians 2:20. Paul says this, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And our lives really have two dimensions. Our vertical relationship with God through the word and prayer. And it's so critical to spend time with him every day. The word really is the foundation. You need to spend time reading and studying the word and memorizing and just thinking about it, meditating on it. The Lord told Joshua in Joshua 1:8, he said, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." And the second dimension of our lives is really our horizontal relationships with people, fellowship with other Christians, and witnessing to those who are not yet Christians. And if we're walking in obedience to Christ in these dimensions of our lives, If the spokes of the wheel are in balance, then the wheel is going to spin like it should. And if you ever driving down the road notice a wheel of a car spinning, the only thing that looks like it's still staying still is the center. And hopefully, as we walk with Christ, as you walk with Christ throughout your life, that people will see Christ in our lives as you go through life. So don't just make Christ a part of your lives. Make him the center. Well, not only is this a new phase for Ashley and Hannah, but it's also a new phase in our lives as their parents. For Sean and Ann, and also for Wendy and me, our baby girls are now adults. Young adults. But I remember when I was in college, I really loved relating to my parents as a young adult. And I think I grew a lot closer to them during those years. But I think Wendy and I and Sean and Ann, we need to remember this. We need to remember that Ashley and Hannah are now adults. And I'm sure how we parent them will be different than it's been the last 18 years. A few years ago, John Kitchen came to our church and he shared a graph, something like this, that I've thought about ever since. And this graph talks about, in our parenting, control versus influence. It's a great illustration. When our kids were little, we as parents had a lot of control, didn't we? Now, according to this graph, all hell seems to break loose during those teenage years as our control drops a lot faster than our influence rises. But seriously, hopefully our parenting styles aim to have more influence in their lives as our girls grow up and become young adults. It's a great reminder to an overly controlling dad like me. But hopefully Ashley and Hannah, as our parental control now is very low, hopefully we can have a godly influence in your lives. And this brings me to my final piece of advice to you, Ashley and Hannah. And it's this: never forget God's fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. That's a commandment none of us ever outgrows. Ashley, do you remember when you were little, we used to break that verse down into, do you want to have a happy life or a sad life? But I think that's still true. And I'm not just saying that because I'm your dad. You can ask any of the other old people here. God will bless you, and it will go well with you if you choose to honor your parents. And it is a choice, isn't it? So, Ashley and Hannah, as you navigate through your adult years, as you start to make decisions, your own decisions for your lives, choose to honor the Lord and his fifth commandment. Choose to honor and respect your parents. And then watch as the Lord will shower down his blessing and his pleasure on your lives. Let me pray for you. Father, we praise you for Ashley and Hannah and your hand that is on their lives. And Lord, we do ask that you would pour out your blessing on their lives as they go forward. And we just thank you that you love us, that you take care of us, that you provide for us, that you have a plan for each of us, that you have a plan for Ashley and Hannah. And we just thank you that your plans for us are good plans, that our lives are in your hands. We thank you that you are the one true God. You are all powerful, and you also love us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.